With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The paper a couple of weeks ago, a good week and a half, and I saw a familiar name, and it was Dan Sims. Dan, a frat brother, been knowing him for a long time, a career educator with a very unique gift. Dan, you know, there's a certain people that you meet that has this natural, uncanny ability to connect with students. It's a gifting. You know it when you see it. It's real, it's authentic. And I think I first met Dan, he was, I think he may have been assistant principal, or maybe he just been a teacher over at Tri-City High School. He would later become the principal. And I remember his story. Dan, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I won't complain. People. I will not complain. I was kind of running down. I was going back remembering how we first met, and I know that it had to be on my city council days, and so that goes back at least about 17 years or so, because your son was not even born. I remember you making the announcement that you were
That's
expecting,
right.
Because I was chairman of Relay for Life, cancer awareness and cancer fundraising effort at Tri-Cities.
I remember that like yesterday.
And I remember your story.
Wow.
And I ain't gonna get into it, but we were there. I really had been invited there by someone else, another cancer survivor. And I remember you telling your story. And
yeah.
I don't think nobody knew. I don't know if anybody knew at that time that you were a cancer survivor and you talked about it.
Yeah, I remember that like yesterday, and it's been a great journey. It's ironic that that was the time when my son was in my wife's belly.
Right.
Now, 17 years later, who I'm looking at, it's just been mind-blowing for me as a father.
So talk about that. I remember you saying what a great – and Jordan is on the phone as well, and Jordan don't
yes,
even
sir.
Know that before he was formed in his mother womb, right? You told your story of surviving testicular cancer and the blessing to be able to have a son. And so when I was reading about a week or so ago, and here goes Jordan in full protest with his sign, and he said, "Dad, I'm not coming. I got to do it. I got to do it." And you talk about being proud of your son. Tell us, as a father, you know, your son, you see him growing as a man in full, but I'm sure it takes you back to the bassinet days, and you're just being grateful for this boy's life, but you see his life done took off, and it has taken a life of social justice and advocacy and activism. Talk about when your son came to you and said, "Dad, I feel that I need to be out here protesting."
Yeah, so I tell you, those bassinet days, those are the times when you dream of, you know, who your young king will become and what impact he'll make on the world. So, you know, to fast forward to us sitting on the sofa talking about his feelings towards what was going on with at that time, the George Floyd, the Ahmaud Arbery situation, he was so moved, and I was moved that he was so moved. And the next thing you know, he tells me I want to go and participate in the protest. And I think just like a lot of parents, you know, we watched what was happening on the screen, and there's a part of you that has that level of hesitancy to send your child out into what could be danger. But at the same time, enamored by the fact that you have your seed who wants to participate in something meaningful. So we allowed him to go. He prepared himself. He got his gear together. He got his signs together. His mother helped him create a sign. He jumped in the car, and he went. And as the article indicates, not only was he a part of the protest, the peaceful part, he was actually pepper sprayed. So he not only got an introduction to what it means to protest, but he got the dark side of it. And that's
right.
Put yourself out on the street, it can come with some trouble.
Yeah.
Now, I remember like yesterday, Derek, when I finally got down to him, because our instincts told us to go down to Centennial Park and
check
find
on
him.
My baby.
Yeah. So I called him about 7 times. No answer. The 8th time I call him, I'm just calling to let him know we're here. Where are you? He's yelling at the same time, "Dad, I've been pepper sprayed. So we get to him, and some beautiful sisters were coming to his aid, helping him out to see. And I just looked him in the eyes, and I said, "Son, welcome to the struggle."
We'll come back. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to introduce you to Jordan Sims. And what in this 17-year-old high school student? Now, we understand the 20, the 30-year-old who just said, "Hey, I feel my neck has been kneeled on." What says that to a 17-year-old that he go to his mom and dad to say, "I got to get out here. I cannot sit on the sideline"? When we come back, we'll talk to Jordan Sims and his dad, Dan. 404-892-2703 is the number that gets you inside the conversation. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK. You talk to C.T. Vivian, you talk to the likes of any of those who have been out in the struggle for a long time, they will tell you, "I did not wait until I was 30 and 40. I was 18, 19, John Lewis, 18, 19, as a freedom rider in the Deep South." And Jordan Sims, 17, I'm looking at the article, and the article was published nationally. And Zion Strickland, 17, got up and they went down. I'm looking at Jordan's picture. He has his boots on. He has his "I Can't Breathe" shirt. He has his sign. And the article opens up before a crowd of protesters created chaos in a city that embodies African-American achievement. Dan and Tracy Sim had a double dose of anxiety. Their hometown was under siege, and their teenage son would be smack in the middle of it. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Jordan, the talk you had with your mom and dad sitting on that sofa the night before you were going to the protest, what moved you about George Floyd's death that as a high schooler you said, "I can't sit this out. I need to find my voice. I need to have a voice. I need to have a say about this"?
Well, first and foremost, I just was at a point where I feel like a lot of people were at like a numb point to like where we used to see it and we used to normalize it. Used to see like police brutality against our people and just be like, "Oh, that's just another person, you know, getting killed by the police." And I felt like this one just really hit home for me to a point where it felt like not only as a black male, but as a youth in like America, I need to stand up for my people and I need to stand out for what's right.
George, you're 17, man. You're supposed to be out hooping. You're supposed to be out PlayStationing it. These are serious social issues. What in the world does a 17... Why you need to be concerned about social justice?
Because
what personalizes this for you?
It's going to happen 10, 20, 30 years from now. I'm going to be spearheaded, you know, like with things that are going to be happening. I just don't want this to happen to my kids and my grandkids and stuff like that.
You call up your boy Zion.
And
Zion said, did Zion Strickland, who's your same age, What was that conversation like? What do you say to him, or what does he say to you?
It was quick. It was I sent him the flyer. He was like, "Let's go," and it was just from that point we had conversations because I believe the flyer was out 4 days or so before that it actually happened. But the conversation we just had was we were just tired and we were just telling each other like, you know, I got your back, and you saying, you know, we just had each other's back and we were gonna go out there and stand up for our people.
Did you think your mom and dad was gonna endorse this? Did you think you were going to have the confirmation from them, of them saying yes?
To be honest, not at all. And if I was a parent, I wouldn't be as, you know, as willing as I'm thankful to have that, because
certainly
I wouldn't have been as willing if that was my son seeing what happened in Minneapolis and stuff like that.
Right.
But I didn't think it was going to be that easy. Well, it wasn't easy because we had a very in-depth conversation about, you know, where my mind was at, you know, what I was standing up for. So, because, you know, a lot of people just go and protest but don't have a, like, reason or, like, don't have something they want to actually change. And I had to lay out an agenda for them, and they let me go.
Let me ask you this. Pretend like your dad is not on the other line. If he had told you no, would you have gone anyway?
Definitely. Definitely. I would have definitely gone because I feel like I had to. I feel like being a youth, like it was more powerful to see, you know, a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old, you know, be out there, you know, protesting.
Yeah, you ain't even met your uncle, but I'm smiling ear to ear, man. I'm so proud of y'all. I just want y'all to know how proud many of us are of you, that you feel it. And that's one of the things I learned, Dan, that these young people they would not just respond to a tweet. They would not just respond to a fad. Then talk about what your son articulated to you that made the case for you and your wife to say, you know what, he gets it. He knows what he's talking about. This ain't just him going out here to wild out. What did he say to you that sealed the deal for you?
Yeah, so he was highly reflective as it relates to his feelings about what was going on. And, you know, you can look your child in the eyes. It wasn't just what he said. It was his body chemistry. It was his face. He was moved, and it was so crystal clear. And as I just probed his thinking to see where his heart and mind was, he was very clear in that he was bothered. He was clear in that he wanted to be a part of a solution and that he wanted to take an active role and not wait another minute to do so. So you're talking about a hot iron. As we're sitting here looking at TV and here's an opportunity, I don't think he wanted to wait another minute. And I could tell that he really thought out his feelings. He wasn't just going to be aggressive or to be combative.
Right.
But really wanted to lay a foundation for himself and on behalf of his people and his generation to make a change. So much so that, you know, what he's done on that day has transcended. And they've already had other activities. He's made his own organization. And somehow on that day, I knew it wasn't just going to be a one-shot deal. There was no way in the world that my God would stop me from such a foundation he laid on that day.
Jordan, so I'm looking at you, man. You were ready. You got an I Can't Breathe shirt. Now, this is in the early days of this. I don't even know if shirts were even printed up really good, because this was like day two or day one or two. After, how did you pick out your gear? Because you look like you didn't come to play around with him. You in all black. You got your army boots on. You were ready.
Yeah.
Talk about the preparation the night before. Were you nervous or anxious about any of it?
I feel like the way I felt knocked away all nervousness, all, you know, anything that would have stopped me from going. Like, I had none of that in my mind.
Right.
But as far as preparing, I remember there was a Twitter post that one of my friends sent me that was saying, like, you know, for the people that are going to protesting tomorrow, you need to bring this, 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 and this. So I brought the boots because I felt like that was just a nice touch to it. I brought multiple water bottles. I believe I brought a couple snacks and stuff like that because, you know, you never know what could happen.
Right.
And I knew that as I was going up there. And going back to the conversation I had with Zion, I was like, you don't know what's going to happen, so, like, we need to be prepared for anything,
wow.
And that's what we were prepared for.
Did you? You didn't tell your dad what you were putting in the bag. You just told him you were preparing the bag. But because you've been thoroughly brief, I mean, you had even done your research. Now, they didn't tell you, we got to get ready to take a quick break in just a second. The one thing they forgot to tell you to bring, apparently, was the milk.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jordan, I want you to tell me what the scene was like when you first got there. How'd you get there? I want you to tell us, get an anatomy of this movement for you. How'd you get there? Did you go by train, drive? What did you do? Where'd you join in the march? And then when the tear gas went off, what was that like? And talk about those seven calls before the eighth one. What were you doing when your phone keeps going off over and over and over, and you know it's mom and dad on the other end? What was happening? And by the eighth time you picked it up, what were they saying to you at that point? Again, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, our special guest is father and son, Dan and Jordan Sims. Jordan 17, he founded an organization. He said he is in the social justice movement, not for a moment, but for a movement. And Dan, what we want you to talk about, look here, you may have given birth to the next Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. George Floyd, death at the hands of Officer Chauvin. Young people everywhere. We all was impacted, affected. And some got up. One of those young people who got up was 17-year-old Jordan Sims. Jordan, talk about, you got mom's, you got dad's approval. That was a big hurdle to jump. Mom helped you with the signs. You got some nice signs, and now you got to get there. Tell us, how'd you get there? What was your strategy to get there? What did you join in the protest? And then tell us the moment when you got to taste the bitter taste of pepper spray. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I got down there by driving. I parked, I believe, in the CNN parking lot, which is like right across from.
Man, you got right up close to the place. You were able to get in. Okay, so you were right in the. You definitely was in the mix of thing if you parked there.
I planned everything. I needed to be right where I needed to be, but I got there fairly early. It was in the middle of Centennial where everybody was gathering, getting supplies, and then we started rallying before we started marching.
Right.
And from that point, after the organizers took the first steps out, everybody followed through, we marched to the Capitol, and it was real nice. But when we got back, there was another point of rallying to where, people started getting agitated and stuff like that. And I remember it was one first person that got arrested. And from then it was a second, then it was a third, then it was a fourth. And at that point, things started to get tense and people started to get agitated. So it moved from the middle of Centennial to, I believe, on Marietta Street.
Right.
Like that street where the CNN sign is.
Right.
And basically what happened was it started a bunch of chants like Black Lives Matter, whose street, our street, you know what I'm saying? A lot of that stuff. And the police, it started with like a few police, then it became more, then it became like maybe 20 cars down that street. And I remember vividly, because I believe I was the first pepper spray victim, but they grabbed their bikes, because the police were bikes, and they grabbed their bikes and started pushing us back.
Right.
And it was one dude next to me. He wasn't, it was maybe 100 people behind me. So it was their probably 40 police, 20 police to our, 300, 400 people behind me, pushing back.
Right.
And first thing the police officer did was pull out his pepper spray and he sprayed me like a bug. And man, did it hurt. It really did.
At that moment, you incapacitated. I'm sure most people start coughing, sneezing, snotting, and all of that. What was your reaction, and where was Zion at that time?
Zion, luckily, his mom had the bright idea to, go ahead and leave.
Zion done dipped on you.
Yeah,
And his mom had the right idea to go ahead and leave.
Zion, oh, man, well, I can imagine. I should have got Zion on here, too. So here you are fighting the power. You right there in the middle. Dan, if you probably was like I was at that point, at some point, you were watching it on TV saying, oh, man, this
right.
is not what yeah. we bargained for. We thought they're going to be one of these nice, sweet little marches where everybody at the end going to sing Kumbaya and go home. And you said, yeah. my son is stuck down in the middle of this.
Yeah.
What you and his mom come to the realization he's down there. You start ringing his phone and he doesn't yeah. answer.
Yeah. So we went to the Capitol first. Nobody was there. So we hightailed it over to Centennial. Yeah, we called his phone, no answer. And I'm thinking he's ignoring my calls. He wanted to do his own thing.
Right.
And then he finally answers, and he's screaming, Dad, I've been pepper sprayed.
Oh, my God.
Now, my wife is behind me, so I had to play it cool.
Oh, she's kinda, in another car. She's not in the same car as you, so she does walking. Not hear the conversation.
Yeah, so we're by foot, and we're walking.
Okay.
I just politely say, okay. I say, where are you? And I just kind of gesture for them to follow me.
Were you able to find him in the crowd?
Right. So luckily, a young lady grabbed his phone, and she brought me all the way to the red CNN letters. But we were not far at all. So you talk about God getting you close to your child. That's exactly what happened.
So again,
we finally get to him, and we see everybody rendering aid to him. And it ended up really being a galvanizing moment for him. And we were just proud of the fact that he was okay.
Right.
And ironically, when we first got there, people started running. So I had to shield my family against the window. People started running by with the police. And he finally regained his sight. And I was very proud of what he said to me. He said, if I had to do it all over again, I would.
I would do it all
he
over.
He really felt like he was a part of something for real. He didn't even flinch at the fact that he had to suffer that pepper spray.
Jordan, the blast hits you. Are you able to see anything? Because Uncle Derek done been in many protests, but I have to tell you the truth. I don't ever remember being gassed with pepper. The closest I came to that was probably my first or second march up in Forsyth County. I do remember some going off up there. That was when Jose Williams. That I was still either in college, but that's been a long time ago.
1989. Remember that?
Yeah. But I remember that, man. I remember I never had seen a Klansman up front with the hood on until I went to that second march. Jordan, tell us what it felt like. Do you know who helped you? Who got the phone
no,
and helped move
day,
you?
No, I still don't. I know it was some young lady that helped me, but all I remember is, like, the way he sprayed me was like I was a roach. Like, he sprayed me
right
all the way to the ground. And when I tell you, when I got home, I felt like you could feel the burning. I didn't know you could feel it on your skin. I thought it was just on your eyes, and that's why he sprayed your eyes. But I felt it on my legs, my arms, my face, like anything exposable.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does hurt. For that first 5 seconds, you think you're okay. Like, I got up, but I couldn't see anything. But after that, it went straight burning, and it really, really did hurt.
Dan, what does your wife say? What did Tracy say when she saw her baby sitting there? What she? I'm sure she looked at you. I told you to don't let this boy come down. What did she say?
Yeah, I got a little piece of that. I did.
Okay.
She was that, you know, mother.
I tell you, he ain't coming to another one now. He ain't never going to another one. Jordan, I know you got to get ready. Can you? I know your dad said you got to leave at 6, but can you come when we come back? We got just a few minutes. I'm gonna let y'all jump off. What did you learn about yourself doing this? And what is your message? And I want you to tell us about the organization that you put together. What is it called? Teenagers. What was the name?
Teenagers Looking for Change.
Teenagers Looking for Change. I want you to tell us quickly about that. And how teenagers looking for change might be able to be in touch with you, whatever. Just very quickly, and we're going to let you get off and do what else you got to do for the rest of the day. But I do want you to tell our audience, after we take a quick break, what did you learn about yourself? And do you see yourself doing this again in the future? Is this a part of who you are now? Is this This is just a flashpoint on your short life, and you chop it up as an experience. But now, after tasting pepper spray, I want to go on to be a corporate executive CEO, leading protesting to the folk for whom that is intended. 448-922-2703. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
To surround him with a level of conscious awareness, and you always wonder how much your child is absorbing.
Right.
And I think it all just came to a wonderful spot to see how much he was absorbing in the form of him getting so active. His name Jordan. Jordan means flowing down, and it's a name of leadership. So, you know, from the very beginning, there was this idea that he would be this leader, and we learned more about his leadership skills from him not only participating but taking that on, and even as late as last night on another one of his Zoom calls, much like you have your consistent meetings with Let Us Make Man, they have established a level of consistency.
I love it.
And his leadership has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I learned about him. You know, he's a wonderful son. I couldn't ask for a more amazing son. But seeing him flourish in this light and in this circumstance has just reinforced so much for me. The leadership's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, what'd you learn about yourself, man? What did this experience, all of it? Because you said very clearly in the article and to your mom and dad, pepper spray included, you wouldn't change any of it. What did you learn about you?
I just really learned, how much of a leader I really was, and how much of an impact, what I did really had on my community. Because I know when people saw, me and Zion, going out there and protesting, it started to where I've seen so many of my friends, so many, people that I know just go out there and then, ask us what our next move is or ask us what we're going to do next. And I just thought that was beautiful to see, how much of an impact of what we did had on our community.
Yeah, well, y'all are walking in the history of SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. That was why you had Dr. King and the SCLC. Young people said we need to have our own kind of organization because we have something to say. We have something to add to this dialogue. Tell us again about your organization, and is it open for membership, teenagers who are looking to connect? And because I don't get a sense that this is going to just end. That you all are continuing to organize your group. Are you looking for members? Tell us about teenagers looking for change, and how do people find you? Are you on IG or how y'all young folks stay in touch with each other? Me and your dad still call each other on the phone, but we still use telephone the old-fashioned way. How do they connect with you and learn about your group?
We're called Teens Looking for Change, TLFC for short. And we're just basically a group comprised of passionate teenagers who want change and equality for African Americans in the United States. And not only just, equality for African Americans, but, we're looking at, civil rights things and stuff like that, things for women as far as sexual assault and stuff like that. But we are looking for – we have an ambassador program where we're trying to expand, not only because we're – comprised about maybe four or five different schools, but we're trying to get that, bigger to where we're maybe nationwide or maybe even global. And we're just trying to see where this takes us.
I can see it growing. Again, tell everybody how they can link on IG or connect with you all.
And it's Teams LFC on Instagram and Twitter. And also we have an email, teamslookingforchange@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Jordan. We're proud of you, man.
Thank you.
And thank you for jumping on the phone real quick last minute. Dan, thank you, brother, for all that you have done. You have inspired generations of young people. You're a young man yourself, but you've inspired a lot of people, man. I've watched your leadership grow both educationally and your ability to reach these young people. I am not surprised that it will be your son featured in his national story and featured in general because of what you have done for other people's children through being just an excellent educator. So thank you, brother, for all that you do.
Well, thank you so much, brother. And I give God all the glory, and I just thank
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.